local events associated with this year's book, To Kill a Mockingbird. There are over 40 events associated with this year's Big Read, and I have four special guests here to tell us about them. The first is Jill Miatek, who is the programs librarian at the Kenosha Public Library, which means she gets to plan all the programs for adults at the library. She's the co-coordinator of this year's Big Read, and this is the fourth Big Read that she's worked with.
Hi, thanks for having me here.
Also with us is Paige Barreto from UW Parkside. She holds a master's degree in art history from Christie's Education London and earned her MLIS from UW Milwaukee. She maintains the social media presence for the UW Parkside Library, the College of Lake County Libraries, and the GLBT Roundtable of the American Library Association. In addition, she provides reference and instruction services and acts as a co-chair of the UW Parkside Art in the Library program, as well as the library's current Big Read Committee. Hi, Paige.
Hello, great to be here, and I'm excited to talk about the Big Read.
Good. Also with us is Melissa Donaldson, who is the Digital Services and Innovation Coordinator at the Racine Public Library. She's worked there for 17 years and loves to provide help on various technology services that the Racine Public Library offers. She has an associate's degree in computer support from Gateway Technical College and is pursuing a degree in web development. Hi.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And also Nick Dembski from Racine Public Library is a youth services librarian and community outreach librarian. He's also a founder and curator of the Bonk, with an exclamation point, performance series. So we'll have to ask about that later. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
I'm glad to be here.
Listeners who would like to look at the program of events for this month's Big Read can log in while you're listening to us at you go to neabigread.org and click on communities, and then it will prompt you to search for Kenosha Racine or by zip code. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay, so I'd like to begin by asking Jill to describe the Big Read. What is it? Who sponsors it? How did it come to Kenosha?
Well, the Big Read is a program of the National Endowment for the Arts. It's a competitive grant that we get, and it's a program that's designed around a community-wide reading of one specific title. They have a list of titles that you choose from, and then the community is invited to read the book. Everybody reads the same book, and then there's a month of programs all centered around the book and the themes in the book. And it's designed to bring a community together to discuss and open dialogue and discussion and just bring reading back to the center of leisure life.
Wow.
Good way to put it.
So you said it was competitive. How many communities are competing for this grant, and how many actually get it? Do you know?
I'm not sure how many actually apply, but they only give out about 77 or so, something in that neighborhood. And we're lucky to have gotten one here in Kenosha every year that we've applied for them. We first started applying about, I think in 2010 was the first Big Read in Kenosha, and the Kenosha Public Library did The Grapes of Wrath in 2010, and then we did a collection of Mexican short stories in 2012 called Sun, Stone, and Shadows, and then we did The Stories and Poems of Edgar Allan Poe in 2013, and we were doing it every other year because it's quite a lot of work to put the grant together, and so with the programming month being October and the grant being due end of January, we weren't ready to try to do a once-a-year turnaround. And then Parkside had so much fun with the Poe Big Read that they stepped in and said, we want to do it in the interim. So they did Fahrenheit 451 in 2014. Mm-hmm. And now here we are in 2015 with To Kill a Mockingbird.
So how was To Kill a Mockingbird chosen for this year's title?
Well, it's been on our short list of choices for like the last three Big Reads, and other things have always sort of edged it out, but we really liked the title because it's very accessible. It's easy for a lot of different reading levels. A lot of different ages can read this book. A lot of people have already read it because it's required in a lot of school curriculums, and we've had a very enthusiastic response from people about the title. A lot of people say, oh, that's my favorite book of all time. It's just a book that people deeply love. And so we thought it was its time. And it turns out to be very timely because of things that are on people's mind from various events around the country. And also, when we chose it, we didn't know about the other Harper Lee book coming out because we chose it last fall. And so that hadn't been announced yet. And when it was announced, it was just like this huge PR gift for us. It was really, we were thrilled.
Yeah. Everyone wants to reread To Kill a Mockingbird so they can compare it.
Right.
So, Paige, where can listeners go to find a printed copy of Events or a copy of the book? Are there still books available?
We do have a number of books available at Parkside, and that's available to anyone from the public. I know there's still some available at Racine Public Library, but as we're getting closer to the start of the events, the supplies are kind of dwindling. So if you are interested in getting a free copy of the book, I'd recommend coming in sooner rather than later. To find out more about the events, like you said, you can go to the NEA.org website, and so all the events are listed on there, and that's actually going to be the most current, up-to-date list of events because a number were actually added to the schedule after the brochure was printed. So there are brochures inside the free books available at other places to just pick up, but I would recommend checking out that website for sure so that you can see all of the different events going on.
So, Nick or Melissa, either one of you, you've worked on past Big Read events, I believe. So, were you always paired with Kenosha and UW Parkside, or is this a new collaboration?
Sure, I can take that. We just started working with Kenosha's been doing the Big Read for a while, as Jill said, and we just started working in collaboration on the Big Reads this last year when Parkside took on for Fahrenheit 451, and they were just really, just ambitious about reaching across that KR divide, right? There, Parkside's sort of the perfect institution to do that, right? Mm-hmm. They're kind of right between the two communities, and so, you know, they made it so convenient, really, and helpful just to get us involved. So it was not a ton of work and a whole lot of payoff and reward just being involved in a great program that they put together. And so once they had sort of set the pace for that, then Jill and the others at KPL fortunately reached out again this year. So we've been really, Racine Public Library, we're very excited about what we're doing, but we are definitely riding the coattails of the wonderful people who have put in such great work on this at Parkside last year and at Kenosha Public Library this year.
So you can take turns.
Yes. Next year. Ooh, that's the million-dollar question there.
So, Paige, what are some of the special Big Read events that are happening at UW Parkside? And are the UW Parkside students involved with the planning or participating?
Well, most of the events are actually planned by members of the library staff that are on our Big Read team. Although we do work with other campus departments, like our campus engagement and activities office, they get really excited about trying to work it into their opening weeks of, you know, school starting and things like that. So they have some leadership programs that are going to be going on campus. They're going to be co-sponsoring a showing of the film The Green Mile on October 14th, and that's at 6 o'clock at the UWP Cinema. We also have And what should be a really interesting book discussion centering around gender identity and how it's depicted in the novel through the character of Scout, primarily. It's going to be on October 7th at 5:30, and that's in the library. Another kind of neat thing that we have going on that's going to be both at Parkside and then on another day at Kenosha Public Library is something called Raptivism and To Kill a Mockingbird.
That looks awesome.
And that's going to be led by one of our professors from Parkside, Kenny French, and he's done a lot of research into what he calls raptivism, and it's sort of going to be focused on, the activism issues raised in To Kill a Mockingbird and the time that it was published and things like that. So there's going to be one lecture of that on October 12th at noon, which will be at Parkside, and then on October 16th at 7 o'clock, there'll be one at Kenosha Public Library. And then finally, our big extravaganza event that we'll be having on October 21st from 6 to 9 in the library, that's going to be the opening reception of our Art in the Library show for the fall, and the rest of the events are going to be kind of a county fair type theme, like a southern county fair. So we'll have games and snacks and prizes and crafts. And it's just kind of a thing that you drop in and walk around and kind of take part in all of it. And so all of these events are open to the public. The parking is free at Parkside. So, yep, free parking is good.
The Big Read evening party at Parkside is turning into a Big Read tradition. Done, this will be the third one that they've done, and it's always really, really cool. It's really fun to go to that.
Cool. Yep, we have a good time with that. So I'd encourage people to stop in for that.
Wow, that's a lot of things. And also, it sounds very college student friendly, a lot of that.
Yep,
right?
Yep, we try to appeal to, you know, a good audience, so hopefully college students are interested in that, but also, you know, families and other staff and faculty on campus or in the community. And, you know, we do try to get our students involved in helping out at our events, especially the library events. They really have a good time getting in on the fun. So it should be good.
Okay. Jill, can you tell us about the keynote speaker that's coming for this for the Big Read this year?
Oh, yes. We're really excited about this. He's a nationally known speaker, and his name is Brian Stevenson, and he's going to be doing a talk called American Injustice, Mercy, Humanity, and Making a Difference. He's the author of Just Mercy, which was published this year and has been on the New York Times bestseller list. He's a professor of law at New York University. He was named one of Time's 100 Most Influential People for 2015.
Nice.
He's received a Genius Grant from the MacArthur Foundation and the NAACP Image Award for Best Nonfiction for his book, Just Mercy. He's the founder of the Equal Justice Initiative, which is a law practice in the South that defends the most very marginalized people in the criminal justice system. And he's an incredibly good speaker. I can't say that enough. He's so impressive. His TED Talk was ranked as one of the 5 essential TED Talks of all time by the New Yorker magazine.
It is amazing.
I've seen him speak in person, and it's just an experience that you don't want to miss. He's so good. It's just incredible to hear somebody who is so good at delivering a message. And then the message is so compelling, too. So I strongly recommend that everyone come to that. If you don't come to any other Big Read program, go to that. That's really, really good. In Kenosha, he's the kickoff speaker for the Big Read. So in Kenosha, he'll be speaking on Friday, October 2nd at 7 p.m. at Ruther Auditorium. Admission is free. You just show up. Doors will open at 6:15. And then he's also speaking in Racine, and I'll let Melissa talk about that.
Yep, we'll be hosting Brian Stevenson along with the S.C. Johnson Corporation at the Golden Rondell on Saturday, October 3rd at 10 a.m. He will begin his talk. There will be a book signing right before. If you would like to have a copy of the book signed, you can pick one up at Barnes & Noble in town. It is register. You do need to register for this program, and you can do that by calling the Golden Rondell at 262-260-2154.
Where is it located?
It is on 21st Street, or 14th.
It's on 14th Street, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, aside from Brian Stevenson just being a really amazing speaker that everyone needs to go and check out and register for very soon, because that's going to be full up. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a 300-person theater, and that's going to be full up very quickly. The Golden Rondell is just a super cool piece of, you know, like our region's. It's just like a Racine institution. It's a very neat place. It looks like a gold spaceship, right in the middle of the inner city. So
we had the showing of the Fahrenheit 451 film there last fall, and people were really excited to be in the space.
Yeah, it's a great venue. Very historic too.
Hmm. And Ruther Auditorium is kind of like that too. It's a very beautiful space. Although it sounds like this is just, you know, kind of one of a kind, right?
It's weird. Yeah. It's weird. You drive past it and you're like, what the heck is that? And you would have no idea that there's, you know, like we just screened a movie on animal agriculture and the environment in there. So you'd never drive past it and go, I bet there's 150 people learning about animal agriculture's effect on the environment in there.
Huh.
You know?
Wow. Any other events happening in Racine that you'd like to tell us about?
Yes. Reggie Jackson from the Black Holocaust Museum, he's one of our regular speakers. is going to be doing a program taking on To Kill a Mockingbird from an African-American point of view, just to see what their point of view is on the book. There is no registration for this program, so you can just show up. It'll be at the library on October 6th at 6 p.m.
Okay. Jill, what are some of your highlights for the many events? How many are we up to now?
Well, I'll tell you, you said over 40. We're actually up to 70. Yes.
70 events? Oh, my
and
goodness.
There's,
man,
that
somebody
doesn't,
worked hard for that.
That doesn't count the, there's some book discussions happening in prisons. In
that's right.
The Ellsworth Correctional Institution is having a book discussion for
the girls.
And we're doing two book discussions at the Kenosha County Detention Center. So not counting those, not counting a couple of private book discussions that were already filled, if you count all those in, it's 74.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's kind of, it's
so
exploded.
You definitely, you want to go to the website to make sure that you see all of them.
Right.
What are your highlights
right.
in Kenosha?
Well, aside from the kickoff, we have a really interesting variety of book discussions this year. We've got one in Spanish this year. An early bird one at 7 a.m. at a bakery. For those of you who are up super early or need to get to work and want to still squeeze a book discussion in.
And that's Linnea Bakery.
It's
downtown.
At Linnea Bakery
and
in Kenosha.
They're going to have some sort of special treat that they're baking,
right,
too?
I think they're going to be serving lane cake all month, which is featured in the book Miss Maudie's Lane Cake.
Oh, nice.
And we've got a call-in book club that is done completely over the telephone, like a conference call. If you can't get out, that's a great way to participate. If you can't physically come to programs, this is one thing that you're welcome to join in on. The Literacy Council and the Women's Club of Kenosha, this is another big read tradition. They've done this every year. They do a joint book discussion. And the Literacy Council students usually do some sort of presentation along with it. In the past, they've done either little talks or they've done plays a few times, and there's always some really interesting food at that one too. So that's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We've got them in cafes and bakeries and bars and libraries and galleries and social service agencies. They're all over the place. I think we're up to 25 book discussions now. And some really interesting topics, like you heard Paige talking about the gender one. Mm-hmm. She didn't mention the name of that, which I totally love.
Oh, it's
go ahead.
Oh, it's called Boy Scout, Girl Scout, I think.
Isn't that awesome? I love that. So, a few of the other events that are interesting. TG's is doing an open mic night with social justice songs, and that event is called Tequila Mockingbird. They will have a special tequila cocktail on sale that evening that you can try. It's just really hard to say. There are so many good ones. We reached out to the public defender's office and asked if they would do a presentation on what it's like to be a public defender in 2015 versus that. So that's going to be on October 19th, called Atticus Finch in Today's World.
Wow.
And gosh, there's just so many. There's a program for teens that's based on the diversity circles that used to be around, where you can come and it's a certain structure where it's like people sit in concentric circles and talk to each other about racism and diversity and just thoughts on that. And that's going to be run by Roseanne Mason and Lena Cooksey. And that's at the Northside Library. There's a number of performance events. There's one called Bridging the Divide at Soul Delicious.
That looks awesome.
That's going to bring together a number of performers, musicians, and poets that it will talk about themes from the book and how to move past some issues, and that'll be really interesting. There's so many. It's hard to pull out certain ones.
I think this might be the moment where we hear about Bonk! Exclamation point. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. So Bonk in general, the Bonk Performance Series is a program that we've been running in Racine for, it'll be 7 years in October. So we're celebrating with the big read. And basically, it's a once-a-month series where we typically bring just three featured performers from anywhere in the country. We bring them from all over the country. And typically, it's like two literary performers and a musician or a musical act. So we could have a poet from New Mexico and a fiction writer from New York and, you know, some musicians from Minneapolis or something like that. So this, for the big read, we're really excited. We get to participate on October 24th from about 6 to 8 p.m. We're going to be at Racine's Riverbend Nature Center. We have it at a different location every month, which is a really cool way to just introduce people in the community to things that they didn't know were in the community, you know, if they've never been to the Golden Rondel or wherever it is. So this month it's going to be at the Riverbend Nature Center, which is one of the most beautiful nature sanctuaries we have in Racine and Kenosha. And the three featured performers that we'll have there, one's named Afa Michael Weaver. He's a poet from Boston who, you know, a long list of accomplishments, published over 10 books, and probably one of the things most noteworthy about him. Well, I suppose since this is an NEA program, I should say he's gotten a National Endowment of the Arts Fellowship before, which is another very competitive. That's a grant that I've been turned down for many times. So. So we'll have Afa Michael Weaver reading. We'll have Lainey Brown, who is another internationally known poet. You know, usually Bonk doesn't quite pull in, like, internationally known talents, but this is a special, this is our seven-year event and for the big read. And then for the musicians, we have two musicians who are from the region, but are at least one of them is definitely internationally known in his field, too. Lynn Chirp Smith and Jim McVeigh will be playing. They're part of a group called Pure Drop, and they play folk music and sort of old-time music, certainly all over the country and outside of the country. Jim McVeigh is from Ireland. So we're really excited just because all three of our acts this... Oh, yes. Well, I'm working up to that. Jill just held up a sign that says Poet Laureate, which is another bit of that night. But we're really excited just because all three of the acts are internationally known, and that's not typically what we have at Bonk. But the last kind of really – oh, and this will be a justice-themed night, obviously, to tie in with the big read. But the last bit that we'll be doing that's exciting for that night – is I'm part of the Racine Kenosha Poets Laureate Committee, selection committee. Lots of people don't know that we have both a Poet Laureate for Racine and for Kenosha, and our program is really interesting because, like the Big Read, we're crossing the KR divide, which there aren't very many cities out there who have joint programs like that. But on the 24th at this event, we will be announcing the new 2015 to 2017 Poets Laureate of Racine and Kenosha.
Ooh, that's exciting.
Very exciting stuff.
So did they have to, like, pass on their crown to the previous one, to the new one, or is that...
This, we will also be announcing the passing of the torch event, which I think will be in November. I'll give a spoiler alert. I think it's going to be at Fusion. It's going to be Fusion. In Kenosha.
Yeah.
We trade off every 2 years. We do the passing of the torch event one time in Racine, one time in Kenosha. So we'll be doing that at Fusion in November. But we'll be announcing that event at the October 24th Bonk event too.
Wow. Reading through the list, so I'm just overwhelmed. I'm just sitting here thinking, wow, my brain is full already. Reading through the list, I see that you have so many local business partners, so anybody can take this one. How do they get involved? What's in it for them? You know, why do we have all these? I would just like to note my two favorite ones are that there are two craft breweries in downtown Kenosha who are brewing special Big Read beers, and I don't know what the names of those beers are, but I think I need to go and just try them so I can hear, because I'm sure they'll be very clever, whatever they are, and delicious too. But so does anyone have any insight? How do the businesses get involved, and why?
Well, this is Paige. I know when we did our Big Read last year for Fahrenheit 451 with Parkside, we just asked. You know, we figured it couldn't hurt to ask, and it's publicity for them. It's fun. you know, we do a lot of the work as far as marketing goes. They get their name out there. They get their logo out there. You know, maybe all they have to do is be a distribution point for the books or be the venue for a book discussion or something. So, you know, some of them, like the microbrews, get really involved and they're really excited about it. They want to plan their own programs. They want to, you know, do things like that. Others just, you know, want to host a show or a book discussion or whatever. But I think they have fun with it. It's good publicity. They like to help out the local community. In our case, we literally just went in and asked if they'd like to be part of it.
Part of what the NEA really wants to happen with the Big Read is for you to get out into the community and get the whole community involved and to create those partnerships among agencies and organizations and local businesses. And they strongly encourage you, it has to be part of your application that you're doing events outside of your library and getting out there in the community. And through previous Big Reads, we basically start with talking to our partners from last time, and then every time we add more. You know, this time we had a few ideas of things that we would like to see happen, so we approached those places. And by now, a lot of places in Kenosha especially have heard of the Big Read and want in on it. And especially since the brochure has come out, I've gotten a lot of phone calls and emails of people wondering how can we get our business involved? How can we host something? We're honestly sort of maxed out at this point for resources. But it's, places, even if they just have a special, that's participating. If they will hand brochures out for us, that's awesome. So it's fun. Everybody really enjoys getting in on it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Let me just remind our listeners that we're discussing the upcoming Big Read events at the Kenosha Public Library, Racine Public Library, and UW-Parkside Public Library, and associated places around town. And the book this year is To Kill a Mockingbird. The guests I'm speaking with are Jill Miatek, who's a programs librarian at Kenosha Public Library, Paige Barreto, who's from the UW-Parkside Library, specializing in social media and several other things, Melissa Donaldson from Racine Public Library, who also does digital services and innovation coordinating, and Nick Dembski, who's youth services librarian at Racine Public Library. So one of the things that I think is interesting, and we mentioned this a little earlier, is that this year's book, To Kill a Mockingbird, is that Harper Lee's second novel, or depending on what you believe about the history of it, maybe it was her first novel. But the second one published called Go Set a Watchman was published this summer. So have any of you read that newest book, and are there any events for listeners who read it or maybe just curious about it?
I have read it.
I
have not read it either.
This is Paige. I've read spoilers and I've kind of read reviews and heard things about it, but I haven't read it myself.
That's the thing about librarians. We're always like, no, I've never read that book, but I've read the review.
Exactly.
Yeah, I ordered it for my library.
Yeah.
But Jill has, so
I have, and there are events that are kind of focused on the book, which is called Go Set a Watchman. On October 10th, the Lakeside Players are doing dramatic readings of key scenes from Go Set a Watchman, which will be followed by a discussion of the book and of their readings, led by Kathy Polavina from the Kenosha Public Library. On October 16th, she will also be leading a book discussion at the Northside Library, featuring both books and how they relate to each other and how one affects your understanding of the other and all that kind of good stuff and what maybe you think happened with the publishing of this. It'll be very interesting on several different levels to talk about the two things. On October 22nd at the Racine Public Library, Teresa Coronado, a professor at Parkside, is also leading a book discussion about the two books. And it's very interesting because reading Watchmen really does color your experience of Mockingbird. And it's interesting to look at the ways in which that happens. And then it's also interesting to think about, part of the story that I know is that she originally submitted the Ghost Side of Watchmen manuscript, the publishers said, well, you know, we see a lot of promise. Your writing is fantastic, but we would like a different story. We would like the story that's in here that then became To Kill a Mockingbird.
Hmm.
And so do you look at it as just a first draft? How do you look at the character of Atticus going from the book that's set in earlier times, which was written after the first book? You know, how do you consider the character of Atticus? Is he like, it's hard not to get so involved in that and thinking of it as a real person.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a fictional character, or is it? There's several layers to that discussion, and it's very interesting. And what, you know, even just talking about maybe what the publishers were trying to achieve by going with a different story, and which book do you think is actually written better? Right. Some people feel very strongly that Ghost Out of Watchmen is excellent writing and is actually the better book because it's more forthright.
Mm-hmm.
To Kill a Mockingbird is really, I think, a more subtle approach to the issue she was trying to address.
Mm-hmm.
If you love Atticus and don't want to hear anything else than what you know about To Kill a Mockingbird, steer clear because it's a different picture. So I'll stop there.
Spoiler alert.
So let's assume that there might be some listeners who were either unable to get a copy of the book or didn't have time to read the whole thing before the events. And I'm talking about the To Kill a Mockingbird book. Are they still worth attending even if you haven't had a chance to read the book?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
There's quite a lot of events that aren't immediately about the book, but are rather about the issues in the book.
Right,
exactly. Quite a lot of them. The NEA allows you to go pretty broad in what you relate to the book.
Yeah.
it needs to be related somehow, but there are a lot of themes in this book. There's a lot of different ones.
Brian Stevenson won't actually be talking about To Kill a Mockingbird at all.
I don't think so. I think he's going to refer to it. He's been referred to himself as an African-American Atticus Finch.
Oh,
but
that's interesting.
And I'm not sure who referred to him as that, but I don't know how he feels about that
connection
or what.
A little
dismissive. You know,
this white fictional character.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh,
okay,
it's a little weird.
You.
But so I don't know if he'll address that or not. I know he knows that he is the kickoff speaker for the big read, of course, and knows that we're using To Kill a Mockingbird. And so it'll be interesting to hear what he has to say about it.
This is Paige again. there, like Jill said, there's a lot of events that aren't necessarily directly tied to the book itself. So, for example, our Southern County Fair extravaganza. There's film screenings, like we're showing the Green Mile, as I said. Stopping into the craft breweries for some microbrews. I mean, you don't need to have read the book for that to enjoy them. So, there's also lots of opportunities to see the film version of To Kill a Mockingbird throughout both communities. So, you know, if you'd rather just see the film and kind of still get the same idea, then, you know, you can even still go to the book discussions and talk about the events, having seen the movie. So I'd recommend that.
Good. That's kind of what I figured. I suspect, given what you've already said about what the events are, that people might be inspired to read the book after going
That's
to some
point.
Of these events, right? That they'll sort of think, maybe I need to explore this more.
And that's awesome.
Yeah,
right. The point is all about reading, getting you to read things. So, Jill, since you've worked on previous big reads, do you have some memorable stories that came out of the previous times that you've done this? Anything unusual, important, or even funny that came out of these community reading events in the past?
Well, yes, I do. probably in the past, one of the really standout things that happened was at the kickoff for the Poe Big Read. We had a person come and do a theatrical presentation as Poe. It was a woman. And she's an interpreter at one of the historical sites where Poe lived. And so she knows a lot about Poe. She does this little stage thing. She wasn't very experienced, but we went with her, and she was just absolutely fantastic. It was an eerie transformation from this nice-looking woman to Edgar Allan Poe. And you know, the lights were low. She's very tall. I don't think he was, but it made it imposing, you know. Yeah. We had it at the Kemper Center, and there were candelabras and candles and ravens and things all over. It was very, very sparsely... not much on the stage except for her and a table and a chair and then a candelabra or two. But it was at the Kemper Center. The lights were low. There was this enormous thunderstorm. Absolutely huge thunderstorm. So while she's up there delivering Poe in the most theatrical, most incredible way, there's thunder, there's bolts of lightning. The basement actually flooded.
Oh!
And, it was really cool. It was a torrential downpour, and just the thunder and lightning would crack right between her lines. It was really weird, and people asked us afterwards how we arranged that. And we're like, well,
did the NEA
secret
do that,
skill. That was part of the grant. One funny story during that Poe big read was we were going crazy trying to get the brochure together. It was the first time we'd used this sort of unusual format for the brochure. We're having a really hard time getting it to fall together and getting it printed and getting everything executed. And me and a colleague were working on it, and we were going crazy trying to get our supervisor to stay put and help us with this. And he kept running. There was one day we were kind of in crisis mode trying to get this out the door by the deadline, and he wasn't there because he was running all over the tri-state area getting ravens from every Menards in two or three states to have this big flock of Halloween decoration ravens, like life-size feathery ravens. And so we were so mad at him, but then it was even worse because it turned out we would take this big box of ravens to every event and set them up all over the place, and it was one of the most popular things that we did during the entire big read. So that was kind of aggravating, but but it was fun. It was good. And the really important thing that's come out of these is just the partnerships that have happened because of the big reads through the years. It's just incredible to watch what unfolds when you start working with organizations and you think, okay, the big read's over. But then pretty soon, you know, we're getting calls from places saying, hey, we're putting together a citywide Orson Welles celebration. Will you be part of it? Right. And other organizations have met each other through the big read and have taken off that way. It's like this big ripple effect that is really cool. And now we're working across the KR border, and it's really great. And we've had done other things with Parkside. We've done the collaboration with the environmental course that happened, the MOOC. And it's just been really great. We made a lot of connections in the city, and it's developed into other programs and even other community-wide programs. And that's really been fun to see and be a part of.
I think it's a very smart initiative that the National Endowment for the Arts has set up in this way, because to some degree, I think that's probably what they suspected. You know, you do this one-time big event and involve a lot of people, and that's great, but what it ends up doing is making a bunch of new connections in the community, or sometimes across communities, even in our case, and those connections end up continuing to benefit all communities involved on and on.
Yeah, we all make each other stronger.
Yeah.
Melissa or Nick, do you have any interesting big read stories from the past?
Well, we were talking about that before we came here, and we actually, our director was there, and we brought up, and I think the thing that we were just most kind of excited about, we don't have any stories in particular, but we were just happy with the last 2 years, how many people from the big read in particular come into the library either saying, oh, I've lived in Racine, you know, so long, and I've never been in the library before. Or someone, you know, saying like, oh, when did you guys do the remodeling here? And we're like, well, 10 years ago or something like, you know. So, again, it's just another great benefit that it gets people into the library who maybe wouldn't be necessarily. And once they see like, oh, my gosh, there's free movies and free books and free DVDs and free CDs, you know.
And electronic books.
All these programs going on.
And story time.
Yeah, so it's a great way to reconnect the community with the library again.
Excellent. Paige, do you have any UW Parkside stories?
Well, yeah, I think, I mean, just to build off what Nick said, you know, even though Parkside isn't, I mean, we are open to the public, but it's not considered a public library.
Right.
And so getting a lot of people from the community to come to,
right,
to Parkside campus and to the library in particular and take part in some of our programming was really nice, because people, I think, don't think that they can do that if they're not students at Parkside, or that, you know, it's just not open to the public, or, you know, even getting students and staff into the library that have never been in there the entire time that they've
been
at Parkside. So I think that is really important. Speaking from when we hosted the Big Read last year, I think probably the best story I have is that our keynote speaker was the biggest Parkside community event, the most well-attended that we've had in several decades.
Oh, wow.
At Parkside. We had Sam Weller speak, who's the personal biographer for Ray Bradbury, and, you know, it was sold out. People were just so excited about it. So that was a really good thing, for Parkside and its place in the community. And then just a funny thing that happened was a coworker and I went out one day to do some quality assurance testing for the microbrews in downtown Kenosha. And we were at Public Craft, and the chancellor rolls up, and she and one of our PR guys had come in to do the same thing. So we ended up bar hopping with the chancellor that afternoon. And when we got over to Rustic Road, the Literacy Council was there. I think they were doing a fundraiser, so they got some really great pictures of the chancellor, you know, promoting literacy as well. So it's just a lot of fun.
Wow. Well, we are almost out of time. I was going to have you each pitch two events at the end, but you're really going to have like 10 seconds to pitch one. So I will thank you all for being here. So first is Jill from Kenosha Public Library. What would you pitch quickly as an event that you think people should go to?
I'm madly trying to decide. I will say Saturday, October 3rd, RG Productions presents Favorite Scenes from To Kill a Mockingbird at UW Parkside.
Yes.
Excellent.
That'll
okay. Paige from UW Parkside?
Aside from that one, and obviously the keynote, I guess, right, I'd have to say our extravaganza Southern County Fair evening on October 21st from 6 to 9 at the Parkside Library.
Okay. And Melissa Donaldson from Racine Public Library?
I would say come to see Reggie Jackson talk. He's an excellent speaker.
He's amazing.
What's the date for that?
That is on October 6th at 6 p.m.
Okay. And then Nick Dembski, also from Racine Public Library. What would you pitch?
I'll second the keynote again, and also just bring up Bonk Performance Series, Saturday, October 24th, 6 to 8 p.m. at the beautiful River Bend Nature Center.
Excellent. Well, thank you all again. This has been Education Matters, talking about the Big Read, To Kill a Mockingbird, Kenosha Racine, and UW Parkside collaboration. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archive programs are available on our website, WGTD.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page. This is WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Len Iaquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant, WGTD Walworth County correspondent Jim McClure, and by Marlo Harmon, a lifelong Racine resident who's currently employed as an addiction counselor at Racine Correctional Institution. And now, here's today's host.
Good morning. This is Len Iaquinta for Community Matters, and today our topic is what's new in hospice healthcare, particularly with Hospice Alliance, a leading not-for-profit provider here in our local communities of southeastern Wisconsin. My guest this morning is Rita Hagen. Good morning, Rita.
Good morning, Len.
Rita has a lot of initials after her name, RN and MSN. She's a registered nurse. She has a Master of Science degree in nursing, which is a very big and important credential. And she's executive director of Kenosha and Racine's Southeastern Wisconsin's Hospice Alliance. And for full disclosure, I should disclose that I sit on your foundation's board of directors, and I'm proud to do that. Rita, what's new at Hospice Alliance? You provide hospice care in the communities. Most of our listeners are familiar with it, but I'd like to start with something that's really quite exciting that you're starting very, very, very soon. It's called Consider the Conversation. Tell us about that.
Consider the Conversation is a movie that was made by actually two gentlemen who work for a local hospice, Rainbow